will write your book. I 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 will write your book right now. Listen up.
All right, this is cassette tape 3. Welcome to I Will Write Your Book. My name is Will Hines, and I'm a ghostwriter. I write books for other people, and on this podcast, I release the recordings of the meetings I have with my interesting clients. And this is so people who are really interested in the nuts and bolts of the publishing industry can find out how the publishing industry works behind the scenes. I know there's a lot of very passionate fans of the publishing industry. With me, as always, is my copy editor, Karen Donahue. Karen, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really amazing.
You seem it. Yeah, that's nice.
Well, I can't believe my luck. Okay, I purchased a new investment property up in Laurel Canyon. Great, amazing,
really?
Beautiful views. I mean, I was considering moving in there, but my place is bigger. But anyway, we're doing, a little bit of construction, doing some clearing out, and I found a cigar box filled with silver notes. They're actually money. It was money from when money was actually backed by silver.
Oh my gosh.
It's a box full, it was about $42,000.
Karen, how did you get your money originally? I forget how this happened. I'm always stunned at the wealth
Multiple ways. I'm smart with money.
So you found silver notes? I've never heard of this. This is like old currency. Is there actual silver in the bill itself? Or just
no,
you're calling it that because it's backed by silver?
It's backed by silver. It was when money was actually backed by silver, so it says silver note at the bottom of all of the money. So it's old. It's literally old money. I mean, my money is new money. I'm nouveau riche, but this money is literal old money. It's very old. So I don't know. I'll see. It might actually be worth more than its face value. It actually may be worth more than the $42,000.
I'm gonna have
to do some research. See, that's what you do well. I'm not going to go spend it at the 7-Eleven. That's something you would do.
I do a little bit of research. I love buying stuff at the 7-Eleven. That place, I'm a sucker for it. I can't help it. The stuff is laid out so nicely. You know what I mean? It's organized well. Friendly people at the counter, and I just go nuts. I buy every magazine, and I'm like, I'm not going to read these. But if I'm at the 7-Eleven, look out.
I know.
And there's an ATM right there.
I know. You buy everything right by the counter. They charge
love
you.
That stuff.
It's, you know, you shouldn't use the ATM in the 7-Eleven, Will, because they charge you extra for that. You should go to the bank.
I love the 7-Eleven ATM because they have a little cartoon of the money traveling through the air to me, which I love.
I know, but you shouldn't use that because you're getting charged. These are the little things, Will. You're just throwing your money into the garbage can.
I did take your advice last week, and I rolled my nickels.
Okay, and how much did you come up with?
$4.25.
Oh, okay, so not even enough to fill a sleeve?
No.
Okay. All right.
But
well,
once I fill that sleeve, I'm running down to the bank, and that's $5 for me, Bobby. Hey, let's bring on our guest. We're gonna write a book for somebody. I've never met this person before, but I'm excited to talk to them. We're all talking over Zoom, so listeners, I apologize if our audio is a little bit different. But this is Little Tony Nicoletti.
Hello.
Hey, you there? Oh, great, Little Tony. Hi.
Hi. How you doing? Hey.
Doing all right. My name's Will. Nice to meet you. This is Karen. She's a copy editor.
Karen, how you doing? Little Tony Nicoletti from the Bronx.
Yeah, nice to... From the Bronx?
Yeah. That's where I'm from.
Oh, love the Bronx.
Oh, thank you so much. You been?
I used to live in New York City. Yeah, I'd stop.
You're
up
a New Yorker. That's nice.
Yeah, I spent some time there. We go up to Arthur Avenue, get some sandwiches in the delis. It was really nice.
Oh, my God. I love the deli sandwiches over there at Arthur fucking Avenue. You kidding me?
Yeah. You can't lose.
No, you can't lose
on that street. Yeah, just so you know that if we decide to go forward with this, I'll be writing your book for you based on your wishes, and then Karen will be doing the grammar and the copy editing and just making sure that we cross our T's and dot our I's, that everything is ship-shape with the book.
Oh, thank God, because I'm terrible with T's and I's.
they're the hardest ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find that they'd be the most difficult letters. Oh. M's, N's are a breeze, but... anything where there's like two pieces, you got to do one stroke and then another.
Yeah. Numbers are hard too, you know? Yeah.
Oh, numbers are tough.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Especially if you add them.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you that. Sure.
Well, you don't have to worry about any of that. You just tell us your story and we'll make it into a book. And what we do in this meeting is we're just going to go over like an initial consultation just to get sort of a high-level view of what you're thinking about.
Absolutely. Okay, that sounds great. I'm excited. I've had a crazy life, so I'd like to talk about
it.
Okay. Tony, can I just say... I love that necklace, that chain.
Oh, this
gorgeous!
Thank you so much. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's a Mercedes emblem. that I, yeah.
It's, yeah, I see that.
I don't have a Mercedes, but...
no, but the emblem is nice.
It's beautiful, huh? Thank you so much.
It's good design. Yeah, it's really nice. I like your jacket. You got a nice leather jacket.
Oh, thank you so much. This is actually synthetic leather. So really, no animals were harmed.
It looks very real.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Probably saved a pretty penny doing that.
Oh, yeah. This was $65 at H&M. Hey, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
That's
you can't afford not to buy that.
No. I walked by and I screamed. I said, if this doesn't come home with me,
scream.
I don't... Yeah. I screamed. I was like, if this doesn't come home with me, then I'm going to lose my freaking mind, you know?
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, little Tony, let's talk a little bit. What were you thinking of writing a book about? What is this a memoir? You said you had a crazy life, so maybe a memoir about you?
Listen, let me tell you something. This has got to be off the record at first. Well, no, actually, okay, if it's going to be a book, then it's going to be on the record, I guess.
But for right now, we'll keep it off the record.
Right now, off the record, later on.
This is to be on the record later, maybe.
I was for many years involved with the crime family here in New York, the Bonaduccis. Oh, maybe you've heard of them.
Okay.
You've heard of them?
I know Danny Bonaducci.
I know Danny Bonaducci.
The Partridge family.
No, that's not the same Bonaducci.
That's unrelated.
It's
okay,
unrelated.
Not,
oh,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. But I know of
The
crime families in New York. So
okay.
Gambino, thank you for sharing that with us.
No problem.
You got to have some amazing stories.
Oh, my God. Let me just tell you, as we say where I'm from, I don't have eyes to cry.
It's a powerful saying.
Yes, because I've seen so much that tears no longer well up in my eyes like other people.
You've been jaded.
I've been jaded. Let me tell you.
This is what you're saying is not literal. Your eyes are actually fine.
My eyes, okay. So if we're going to go down that road, both of my eyes have a tendency to water in the morning. Like I know, you know, everybody has a little bit of that morning cry. Like where?
Absolutely.
Mine does it a lot. Sometimes it shoots out. Sometimes it just shoots out.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's nothing to get scared about.
And
but
that
does
doesn't mean
does.
You're sad. This is just a biological, you're just a heavy, heavy tearer.
The doctor said, my friend, you've got what we call tear duct syndrome, where it's like your tear ducts fill up and then they...
That's a good name for it because that's exactly where the problem is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a syndrome. So... Yeah. Let me tell you, when I grew up, okay, I grew up in the streets of the Bronx, okay? Nobody to love me, nobody to care.
You were an orphan?
No, it's just my parents were working a lot, and I was just sort of running around the streets. But thank God I was an orphan.
Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. You don't know what those kids go through.
That's the worst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me tell you this. I, from being poor, from living in poverty, I ended up doing some a little bit of work around the neighborhood for a gentleman. His name was Tall Nicky. Here's the ironic part. This guy was 5'7". That's 2 inches shorter than the male American average height, but they called him Tall Nicky.
Wow, he was
still makes me
just
laugh.
Below average height, but they called him tall.
It just, I mean, I, yeah, it was, maybe it was just being ironic.
Very funny.
It was so
funny.
He
wasn't extremely short or anything.
No, I guess it would have been even more ironic if he was even shorter than that. Like if he was,
I don't know, that might have been a little too on the nose. I think this is the exact right amount of irony.
Yeah, okay, that works. Then keep that in mind. We're definitely going to include this character. The fact of the matter is he needed some work done, okay?
So what were you doing? Were you you know, running numbers for him? You go to his bookies, his loan sharks, pick up money, take it back.
No. He needed work done. So I helped administer Botox shots to his forehead.
Like plastic surgery work?
I guess it's not surgery. It's more like...
But it's cosmetic.
It's cosmetic
procedure.
Yes, it was a cosmetic procedure. He was like, I got these crow's feet. So we
How old were you at this time?
I was 16 and a half, I believe.
Okay, so your first job with him was injecting Botox into Tall Nicky?
Yeah. Here's the thing, my friend, as the Bible says, you never know what comes to you until you go for it.
Which book of the Bible is that?
I think John.
Yeah, it's definitely John.
Yeah.
It's in John. The
it's
book
in
of John.
John.
Will, I need you to write this down. Are you taking this down? This is
No, but
important.
Now I am. Thank you for reminding me.
Sure.
Nice. So you weren't taking any of it down earlier?
I was so enraptured with the story, but now I am now taking notes from this point forward.
Well, I'll take
now,
it
Tony,
as Paul
Nicky.
Now, Tony, This is really dangerous because, you know, Botox, you have to put it in very specific parts in the face. They have to be very, you know, like plastic surgeons and dermatologists, they train in which muscles, you know,
yes,
react
it's
to what
very dangerous.
Of the face.
It's very yeah. dangerous. And Nikki mm-hmm. went into the first injection I gave him, he went into anaphylactic shock and he died.
Allergic to Botox?
I don't know. Here I am, a 16-year-old kid trying to make money to buy new shoes, and this is what happens.
What a tragedy. Also,
what kind of shoes were you going to buy?
They were tap dance shoes. So I was not a fan of tap dancing, but I loved the noises they made. And I was like, dude, I'd love to have these on the street. And it's like, I don't know,
You're walking down the streets of the Bronx. You got to make a name for yourself somehow. Maybe you can be, you know, you get a little noise when you walk. That can increase your rep.
You ever been to the Bronx during the day? It is loud. How does a young man who wants to stand out in the world stand out? Looking back now, I never got people never appreciated it the way I thought they would. They all thought it was weird. You know, hey, are you a street performer that's just walking? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. Your intention was good. Your intention was to add a little pizzazz to your style.
You know.
Wow.
Let's go back to the man dying in front of you.
Oh,
so you
right.
injected
yeah,
the needle
Nikki.
Into his crow's mm-hmm. feet, and he just keeled over?
He absolutely just keeled over. And his last words were, "Oh, my God, I think I'm dying." And that still sticks with me.
That's extremely accurate and fitting for someone to say right at the end.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
hey, when you know, you know, huh? When you know, it's
right. Was anyone else around? What'd you do? Did you just kind of hightail it out of there? Did he have, you know, some of his capos or lieutenants standing around or anything?
Here's
like that,
the interesting part. I was going to call 911, but something told me, kid, don't call the police. Don't call mm-hmm. the police.
Okay.
So what happened is I went inside the guy's pockets and I found the card that said, "If I'm dead, call this number." I called the
God
number.
Thank God he had that.
Yeah. I didn't know who this guy really was. I didn't know why. He calls me, and then I call the number, and a man picks up, and he's like, you know, what's going on? I say, hey, this guy, you know, Nick, he's dead. I was just giving him Botox. We talked about that for a while.
You got lost in a conversation with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he was just, I guess he had some crow's feet, and then he was talking about how he heard it.
He just wanted to know about the Botox,
and then, like, it apparently he had heard that it helps your under your eyes, like, with bags under your eyes and whatnot. We talked about that for, like, a good 45 minutes. Anyway, then I told him, look, this guy's, and he said, don't call the police, we're going to come pick him up. They came to pick up a body. Turns out, it was Mr. Bonaducci himself. Not the Bonaducci,
not the Danny Bonaducci I was saying.
No, this is, yeah, we've already been over that. This is Mr. Bonaducci. And I'd heard of this about this gentleman in my neighborhood for years. He comes and he says, listen, I'm impressed.
So you were talking to him on the phone?
Yes. Neither. I mean, I did not know at the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me tell you. And he said, look, we're very impressed that you didn't, you know, contact the police. You didn't involve any members of the government in this. And if you ever need anything, you give us a call. And that's how I got involved with them.
Wow.
And some of the things I did.
So then now we begin the part of the story where you're going to tell us about the crazy sort of capers and dirty crimes you had to do for the Bonaducci.
Some of the things I've done I'm not proud of. But I just hope that your listeners will reserve judgment and just know that all I am is just a person who's made mistakes.
Right.
That's important to say. And I do think that once you get to know a person's whole story, you're able to reserve judgment.
Absolutely.
When you know somebody's context and their feelings.
So now you've already killed a man. So now is Mr. Bonaducci think that you're a hitman and treat you as such? And so now, because you have one kill under your belt, is that what he wants from you? He wants you to just kind of...
He wanted me to be, as they say, a jack of all trades.
Okay. Wow.
My first big job was filler. One of the other mob bosses wanted to get some filler work done, so instead of actually implanting the cheek, I guess with the filler you sort of just fill it in. and whatnot.
Right. Because as you age, you kind of lose that fullness in your cheeks. They become a little bit more sallow. Gravity's kind of pulling them down.
Exactly.
You're losing collagen, so they're kind of hollowing out. So you get a little bit of Juvederm. You put that in. It kind of plumps up, you know.
Yes.
You get a little filler. It plumps up your face. Okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Now, here's the thing that I'm not proud of.
Okay.
Is that I messed up on the Juvederm, the amount of the Juvederm. And so he immediately went into anaphylactic shock.
Jesus, the second guy.
He is
This is
out.
So horrible.
This man.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, okay? But anaphylactic shock is, you know, an allergic reaction. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think here. You know, is this guy allergic to Juvederm? The other guy's allergic to Botox? Or what's happening? Or do you think unknowingly you didn't have Juvederm in the syringe?
Oh, my God. If you're saying that both these gentlemen were allergic to nuts and there was, like, you know, hazelnut juice in these syringes, that's going to make me really upset with myself.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring it up. Okay, so he's just allergic.
I don't know, Karen. I think it's a little bit on these guys for not going to a professional. I mean, they're asking this 16-year-old who doesn't have any experience doing it to inject something. Like, it's a little bit on them. I mean, no, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody.
Will,
but
Will, if you're a member of a prominent crime family, you just don't waltz into a plastic surgeon's office and say, "Here I am." The feds are on them all the time. Okay?
The feds are working with plastic surgeons?
The feds are on these guys all the time, constantly. And you know what? I would say getting a little Botox, getting a little Juvederm, it's akin to having someone give you a shave. Going into, you know, a barber shop, somebody giving you a shave, a nice
little
clean
touch
shave.
Little touch up.
It's cosmetic. That's it. So he goes, okay, so bring us back to that day.
Well, he's gone. I administered CPR, which I don't know how to do.
right.
Some people tell.
For you to try.
I mean, I was told that perhaps the cause of death was actually the CPR administered and not necessarily the shock. Like, maybe he could have lived. So, boy, is my face red at the moment.
Yeah. Your face should be very red.
Oh, it was scorched. So, you know, he's buried it, and but it turns out that they were going to kill him anyway because they thought that he was talking to the feds. So now suddenly. Everyone's real happy with me. Everyone's like,
yeah.
Hey, you know.
You're the hero.
No, I'm the hero.
You got good instincts, it sounds like. Like, you know, that you knew enough not to call the police on when tall Nikki keeled over. And now Mr. Bonaducci is dead? Is that that's
no,
who?
It wasn't Mr. Bonaducci.
This was Mr. Bonaducci's cousin, Antonio Scalieri.
Antonio, let me get
it's
that
like
down.
Scullery
Antonio
with an Ari.
Yes,
Scalieri.
Scalieri, and not to be mistaken with the Antonio Scalieri, who I believe was like Mozart's arch enemy in Amadeus.
Salieri.
Okay, I know nothing. That I.
That's quite all right.
That's
you
okay.
Know,
all I
know
is that I know nothing. You know.
You know 80%.
You know, as the Bible says, all I know is that I don't know.
Amadeus.
What book is that that says all I know is know nothing?
I think the Bible says, I think that's John.
I think that's also John, yeah.
John's
a really good one.
It's a big book.
It's a big book. It's a lot. They cover a lot of stuff in John.
I think he didn't have much of a life, so he got stuck writing down all this stuff.
Thought that John was the lamest apostle. So he was more of the observer.
We're still talking about him to this day. He can't be that lame.
Yeah. He's a good documentary.
True. He made a name for himself.
Absolutely.
No disrespect.
He made a name for himself. Hey, but try growing up in the Bronx, huh?
Yeah. Yo, man, try.
On the street.
And you know, to your point, that's really where I learned how to be a little streetwise. Know what to do. You know, from when I was a kid, they just said, don't trust the police. You don't trust the government. Mm. And you stick to yourselves. You stick to your own community. And that's how I learned. And
that's what gave you these good instincts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when Antonio Scalieri
right.
keels over, those good instincts are like, do some CPR. Even though you don't know it, this might help. What was the manner in which you did CPR? Is this like you're pounding on his chest to try to get his heart going?
Well, the thing is, I was under the impression that I got to do whatever I can to give enough impact to his chest for his heart to start moving. So I started jumping on his chest.
Oh,
and
okay.
I jumped as hard as I could, but it just didn't seem like it was working. And at one point, I jumped.
If somebody walked in the middle of while you were administering CPR, it might not look like CPR then. It might look like you were just stomping a man to death.
Yes. You know, yes, you're absolutely, my God, you're absolutely right. It looks like I was stomping the guy to death. And at one point, he said, "Stop." And I.
So he could breathe and speak at that point.
Not very well, but I swear to you, I thought he said stomp, not stop. So I thought he's saying keep doing it, you idiot. I'm almost.
He maybe did. Maybe he was saying that.
Now I just want to point out too, your name is Little Tony.
Yeah.
Little Tony. But you look to be about maybe 5'10", maybe about 170.
Yeah.
So you're about average.
Right.
That's
right.
Very funny to call you little.
Yeah, that's really it's ironic. It's sort of that what we
that
call neighborhood
that medium irony. Yeah,
neighborhood medium irony is.
Yeah,
is,
medium right. irony is my favorite irony. You don't want to be too ironic. It's like too desperate.
Yeah,
but if you're just medium ironic, that's really good.
So this way, it's just so half funny.
So it's not like you're little stomping on his chest. You're pretty much an average man who's kind of jumping up and down on someone else's chest.
Right, because I was about almost 17 at this point, but I had a pituitary disorder where at 17 I was already full grown with my full adult weight here's the thing. What I learned is it doesn't matter what your intentions are. The action is what really counts. My intention was to save a man. Instead, I made his diaphragm literally go into his heart. And
ouch.
But you know, when you go to the hospital and you're talking, you're telling people, nobody cares that you tried. They only care that the person died.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
man, you're learning a lot at a young age.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe too much.
I just wanted to, ask a question. I know you grew up and it was tough and you're trying to make a name for yourself and you're poor, but both your parents worked. What did your folks do for a living?
Well, my father was a shoe shiner.
Oh, okay.
And, now if this was the 1920s, yeah, whatever, you can make a little money there. But unfortunately, we're very poor because most people today don't want to get their shoe shined, especially if the person shining your shoes themselves is absolutely filthy. It's a little bit of a turnoff, I guess.
So, little Tony, now you've got two guys under your belt.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you're really, you got to be moving up the ranks
of
the Bonaguchi
crime family. Yeah, I
absolutely was. So
next,
now what happens?
Next thing I know, I'm doing rhinoplasty surgery. And let me tell you, I know less about that even then,
right.
Now, you're saying, why do you keep doing things you don't know anything about?
And yes.
Listen, you don't say no to these people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like that. You can't just say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't know. Oh, you don't know? Well, they're going to find you in a box in the ground. You know where that is? A cemetery.
In the Pine Barrens?
Okay,
I
got it with,
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to kill you.
Right, yeah.
I'm glad that after you said box in the ground, you specified that it meant cemetery, because I was lost.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And you just said box in the ground,
I thought you wanted a specific, geographic location, so I thought maybe the Pine Barrens.
In the days of Amazon, a box in the ground could mean, somebody dropping something else. So I wanted to make it clear.
Yeah,
you're right.
So here's the thing. So Mr. Bonaduce called me and says, hey, my cousin's coming in. From
another cousin,
yeah, from Florence, Italy. I mean, these Italians, they got a lot of relatives.
Florence, not from Sicily, but Florence.
Florence,
okay.
Italy.
Okay.
He says that, look, this guy's got a schnozola like you haven't seen before. I said, okay. And I'm kind of wondering, where is this going? He keeps talking about the guy's nose. He's like, nose is huge, nose is this, schnozola that. And then I was like, okay, 45 minutes goes by.
And 45 minutes?
The schnozola won't stop.
Talking about it.
No,
it's
just.
When you have a very prominent schnozola, it really affects you as a person. It affects you know, your confidence. And also, I'm sure if you're a member of a crime family, it's so distinct that anybody could kind of point you out. So you don't want to have a big schnozzola because, you know, then a witness will say it was a guy with the big schnozzola.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The feds will be like, okay, we got him. This is the guy with the big schnozzola.
Right.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's always going to be
follow along, Will. Follow along.
Seemed like he was pretty much listening and following along.
I got it. Yeah, I think I was not, I was there. But thank you for keeping me honest.
Hey, you know, I mean, if this is how the dynamic between you two is, who am I to say? Believe me, I've seen crazier, you know,
being
involved with these people. But anyway, so this, you know, the problem with the schnozzola is because, as we all know, it's right in the middle of your face. So it's the most
yeah, that's right.
thing you could see the most. Anyway, he says, you know, so what do you think you can do about it? I said, I don't know. I don't think I can do anything about it. He said, listen, if you can take care of this guy, my cousin schnozzola, it's 25 big ones in there for you. And
$25,000?
$25,000 cash. And he said, from now on, you'll be part of the family.
Oh, you'll be a made man.
Now this is a wild thing. So in the mafia, some of you may know from many movies that have talked about this, is that if you're not full Italian, you can't be in a you can't join these people.
You can't be fully made.
Yeah. I'm half Irish, half Italian. Half what else? Creole. Does that make sense? No, because that's technically
not mathematically.
No.
Yeah, that's.
But believe me, that's what it feels like.
Okay, that's an emotional description
exactly.
of your ethnic
emotionally. That's what I feel like. But the fact of the matter is, they allowed me to do this. They allowed me to join their ranks, so I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no.
What an honor!
What an honor! So now here I am trying to look for an anesthesiologist. And let me tell you, these people, they don't want to work unless it's in a hospital setting. It's really fucking annoying. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
So now I finally find one anesthesiologist. Okay. He's willing to, you know, come into my house and do it on the dining room table.
And then your parents are at work at this point.
My parents, we had to do it during the day because my parents were at work. My parents are hardworking, good, progressive, kind Americans, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want that. This is going to break their heart.
Yeah.
They bring it over. I go on YouTube, find a couple of videos. We do the rhinoplasty. It's perfect. I mean, it's just perfect.
Great.
Wow, congratulations.
Then I give him a shot of antibiotics just so in case there's an immediately anaphylactic shock. And I start jumping on the guy's chest.
Well, God, I'm so sorry because it almost went great. Because the actual rhinoplasty, it sounds like it went very well.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. As if God himself or herself came down, sculpted it, went back up to do their thing.
Thank you for saying herself.
No problem.
And thank you for outlining that God would come down to earth to do it and then return back up to heaven where he or she is doing all the work.
Yeah,
the description of where God is during the story.
I mean, of course, everybody goes to work and then goes back home unless you work from home. And we all know
now,
God.
Little Tony, can I just ask you?
Sure.
Who's supplying you with all these injections? Who's giving them to you? Who gave you the Botox? Who gave you the Juvederm? Who gave you the antibiotics?
I bought it off Alibaba, the major Chinese website. It's you can buy things wholesale. And I bought it. I bought it there wholesale, and just sort of tried my luck with it, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, at this point, I'm 17 and a half, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know much. I barely knew. I barely knew about hygiene. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Did the Bonaducci family have enemies?
Yes, many enemies.
Yeah,
many enemies.
Because I don't. It almost seems like they somehow were using you against your knowledge to off members of the Bonaducci family. I mean, if I was an enemy of the Bonaducci family, I'd be happy at these accidents. So maybe some enemy of the Bonaducci family, I don't know, was delivering the stuff from Alibaba to you or was like...
Are you saying that everything that I was... All the stuff that I was getting that was giving people anaphylactic shock happen to have, let's just say, I don't know, it's top of my head, spitballing here, hazelnut juice in it, and all of them
Yeah, could have a nut allergy arsenic or something.
Arsenic.
Well, they could have nut allergies if they're related. Maybe that's something that's hereditary, that they have some kind of...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've been... My whole life I've been used. Here I am.
I don't know that.
He's just speculating. Don't listen to Will. Will's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Jesus.
Now, little Tony, was the anesthesiologist still in the room at that point?
Yeah. For a second, and he's like, oh my God, I can't be here, and then ran out. So here I am. I was like, I'm like, hey, come back. We need to jump on this guy's chest. So I jump on the guy's chest. About 2 hours goes by, nothing. I'm exhausted.
Oh, man.
he's yelled, stomp, or stop so many times. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm stomping.
Yeah.
It was just so stressful. You know, a 17-year-old kid should be at the prom.
Did this get you in trouble with Mr. Bonaducci?
Bonaducci? No. Here's the crazy part. It turns out, they said, oh, we actually wanted him dead anyway.
What?
I'm starting to think.
His cousin from Florence?
Yeah. Here's the thing. These people, they don't care. Cousin, muzzin, fuzzin, they don't care. All they care about is...
Muzzins and fuzzins, they don't care?
They don't care about anything that rhymes with that. They don't care. All they care about is money. These people will kill their own father if they have to. I've literally heard of people putting hits out on family members, let alone a cousin, let alone like a distant cousin. So what if this entire time they were using me just to kill their own enemies in a crazy way? Anyway, brings me to my most intense story that happened.
Okay.
You know what, little Tony?
Yeah.
These could all just be happy accidents.
They could be.
They could be. Could be.
They could
be happy accidents.
But who knows? Okay. You know, there's a mystery developing here, and I think I like it.
Hello. If you're enjoying I Will Write Your Book, please do that thing that every podcast asks you to do and go and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It makes a huge difference to us getting to new audience members. Also, if you have ever heard of social media, there's I Will Write Your Book on Instagram and I Will Write Your on Twitter, which features photos of our guests. And sometimes we get fun fan art that mocks up the covers of these books that we are talking about on these episodes. And it's really fun. So I hope you get a chance to check those out. And thanks so much for listening.
So you got three guys under your belt by now.
Three guys under my belt. And I never wanted anything under my belt other than my pants, believe me.
Of course.
Now, on my 18th birthday, Mr. Bonaducci comes to my house and takes me on a boat ride with a couple of other people. And it was a wonderful time. And they really showed me a wonderful time. They were kind to me. They at a time when I needed guidance, when I needed kindness, they gave it to me. Maybe not the best kind of guidance, but they gave it. He says, look, kid, we really like you, and we want you to help us out with something. I said, okay. Well, long story short, now I'm doing a complete... How do I explain it? I'm doing butt implants, cheek implants. I'm doing breast augmentation.
On the boat? On this boat?
On this boat downstairs. So now I got to find...
It's so much. That's just from a nose job up to that?
I mean, the nose job, like I said, the nose job went perfect. So when they saw that, they were like, okay, the only problem, they just don't give that shot anymore, whatever. So now I got to find an anesthesiologist somewhere that happens to be in this area that's on a boat. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we find one.
Great.
Comes. We start doing the surgery. Breast augmentation is absolutely fabulous. And this is all, I'm doing this all on the gentleman's wife.
Right. Natural teardrop shape.
I think the issue was more like, you know, I think, just getting up in age, I think she just wanted to sort of tighten things up a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
she lost a little volume. Maybe they were sagging a bit.
Yeah, and just
tighten it up.
Exactly. I think it was just sort of for her own, you know. I, you know, who am I to say no? I did that. That looked great. The butt implants, fine. I'm not a huge fan of butt implants in general, but they were fine.
Okay.
Then we get to the cheek implants. If I could say anaphylactic shock faster than that, I would, but I can't. The second my scalpel touches this poor woman's chin, she explodes with anaphylactic shock. Literally.
What does that mean? Like,
I can only describe it as like, bow, bow, bow.
Okay.
That's the only way I can describe it. Just sort of, she's popping out all over the place.
Yeah.
Anesthesiologist is like, I can't be here. Jumps out of the boat, into the water, swimming away. I think he drowned. So now I'm going, okay. So I'm just, so 3 hours goes by. I've been jumping on this poor woman's chest.
And you just put these fake breasts in.
And I just,
you're jumping.
And these beautiful butt implants too. You know, it's a crime that it took. You did the breast augmentation. You did the butt implants. All that went great. And then, you know, your last stop, your last little tweak, and that's when this happened.
In all fairness, though, the butt augmentation went fine. I thought it was okay. The breast augmentation was superb. But so yeah, so here I am. You know, jumped on the chest. She's yelled, "Stomp or stop." You know, obviously the whole 3 hours I was doing it. Now I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? Because Mr. Bonaducci's upstairs. Mm. Here is his wife. She just passed on to the next world from, you know, from anaphylactic shock.
It was Mr. Bonaducci's wife.
This is Mr. Bonaducci's wife.
Oh, my God. Wow. I just thought it was some other guy's wife there. I thought it was like somebody else in the organization. Okay.
You must have been panicked out of your mind.
Oh, I said, this is it. This is it. They're going to fire me. They're going to fire me.
I'm
going to be back. Or, I mean, I was, or maybe fire me and not talk to me anymore. I don't know. Just, I was really worried. And I thought, oh, great. I'm going back to the Bronx and, you know, I'm going to shine shoes with my father.
Yeah.
Came downstairs.
Well, maybe you could have gotten into med school or something. I mean,
you were performing
natural surgeries. Talent.
Med school. I mean, then I'd have to go repeat the eighth grade again, get into high school.
Oh,
go,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
You been in high school at all this whole
no,
time?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, there's a lot of surgeries I ended up doing that I had, you know, I did a bunch of other surgeries in between this. I'm just telling the ones that really were the ones that stood out.
I got
kind of busy. So what happens is he comes downstairs. He sees this. Guess what he says? We were getting a divorce anyway, and she was going to hit me for half.
What?
Wow.
You just did me a favor.
I can't believe it. This is you living a charmed life.
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Yeah. It is also unacceptable.
Did he make any comment about the augmentations? Did he say anything? Did he notice anything?
Here is the strangest part. He thought the butt augmentation was superb. But the breast augmentation could use some work, which was absolutely the opposite of what was actually occurring at that moment. And
crazy.
I was shocked.
Right.
I don't know.
This is a very ironic gang. They're very into calling things the opposite of what they are.
They're certainly a smaller crime family in New York. And maybe this is why then they never grew.
Their sense of irony is why they never grew?
I think the sense of irony, when you're on the street, your sense of irony could determine whether you're a bottom feeder or you're the top dog. I mean, from what I've seen, you know? But then again, who am I? Just a person.
Yeah.
As they say.
So now all these other surgeries that you've been doing in between, and I know you're just telling us the highlights. Mm. You're just giving us, you know, the highlights. How did those other surgeries go? A lot of anaphylactic shock.
I wish I could say that faster than an anaphylactic shock. But this is the problem. You know, either I don't know what anaphylactic shock is and I'm mistaking this, or pretty much everyone is allergic to something that I'm giving them, or I should stop buying things from Alibaba in bulk like that. Yeah, I've had.
Have you had anybody survive
a
procedure?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Wow.
No.
So sorry to hear that.
No. It weighs on me. It really does. Because I don't go around marketing my services to people. People are constantly coming up to me.
Right.
And the Bible says, when they ask, they'll receive if you say yes.
Yeah. When you ask, when they'll when they ask, you'll receive if they say yes.
Yeah. So basically saying, like, those who are in need will never get it if you object.
Right.
You know, and it's
so that's a Bible thing. Does Mr. Bonaducci reward you for, you know, offing his wife in this way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, let me tell you, he sent me a package to my house. I have never seen so many Chili's gift cards. Like, he sent me gift cards, not just for Chili's, the restaurant, but all its affiliates, like Macaroni Grill or Cafe or something like that.
Oh, Romano's Macaroni Grill?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's so good.
There's a couple other
places.
That's
the best Italian food.
It's delicious. It's delicious. It's the most authentic Italian food that I've ever had. And I'm half Italian, half Creole, half Irish.
Yeah.
Was there any of those chains in the Bronx, or did you have to go out to Long Island to go use
these
gift
cards? None of the chains
cards?
Are in the Bronx. No. I was constantly going out to Long Island.
Right. Yeah.
Which
that's tough.
Ends up bringing me to probably a story that I never thought I'd be saying in public.
Wow. Are you taking this down, Will?
I forgot to. Thank you for reminding me. I'll start writing this down.
Jesus, do we even have?
Christ. I was, and I got caught up in the story.
Do we even have time for this story? I can even tell it quick if we don't have time.
I'd love to hear it.
Let's do it.
All right. I'll just give sort of the basics. Bonaducci calls me. I'm in Long Island. I'm at Romano's Italian Kitchen. Macaroni Grill. Macaroni Grill by myself, enjoying probably the most authentic Italian meal I've ever had. Mm. Then he gets a call. It's like, hey, listen, we need you to come down to the house real quick. Something's going on. I'm worried. Okay. So I rush down to the house. I come inside, and they've got this gentleman tied up. It's one of their arch enemies from the, I believe they call themselves the Nucchini family. Nucchini, okay. Like new N-O-O-K.
Like bikini, but new
Nucchini,
instead of...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Mm. It's tied up. It says, this gentleman that we were doing business with, turns out he's a rat.
Wow.
And we want
That's the worst you could be. That's the worst thing you can be.
Right. And we want you to take care of him. I said, what? That's right. It turns out he had a huge lipoma in the back of his head. So like fat, like a piece of fat sort of like that's embedded in the skin. So we want you to remove that before we kill him.
And you were familiar with
lipoma? No, I said I'm not a dermatologist. I'm not even a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, you didn't really know anything about lipomas, but
Because what if it's what if it's not a lipoma? What if it's a cyst and it's cancerous? Then I have to find a lab to send a sample to.
Yeah. Get a biopsy
I can't do
done.
Yeah. I can't fucking do
this.
And
also, they're going to kill him anyway.
Yes. Or, so I'm okay. I don't know. I was like, Mr. Bonaducci, I can't do that. They pull guns on me.
No.
They pull guns on me. Yes. They say, not only are you going to do that, you're going to also check his pulse. You're going to also ask him about, like, you know, you're going to, so they want me to submit, so there's a test.
Do a checkup.
Yeah, exactly. They want me to administer this test to see that if he has any autoimmune diseases. To check to see if he has rheumatoid arthritis, stuff like that.
Crohn's,
exactly. I don't think you can check all of those. I think some of them have to be disease specific, but this, I forgot the name of the test, but it will give you at least an idea if there are something like that. He said, also, we want you to check, it's just ridiculous. I checked everything from his vision, checked to see if he had, you know, if his prostate was enlarged, checked to see if, like, the discharge from his nipples were, like, if it was an infection, if it was, like, bot fly larva or something like that.
For a person they're going to kill.
I mean, here's the thing. These people, it's all about pride and tradition. And they do have a certain respect for their enemy, quote unquote, because they were like, if we're going to kill this guy, but we still want his family to have an open casket. Okay? So if we're going to have this man do an open casket, we have to honor him and make sure that, you know, that he, I don't know, he looks, you know, presentable and whatnot.
Okay, okay, yeah.
None of this is making sense to me at the moment. I'm just, you know.
Yeah,
just like,
it's a I guess it's a respect thing. Yeah. It's like, we're going to kill them, but we still have enough respect that we're going to humiliate them.
Because right, because you, made don't man, want, you want, yeah, you want to kill, you know, a strong dog. You don't want to kill a cute little puppy who's, you know, maybe got a broken leg
or has
an infected eye. You know, that's just cruel, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you want to make sure that someone is strong, right?
Exactly.
Before they off them.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, why don't you find a fucking doctor, man? Why do you have a kid that's just about to turn 18?
It's because the feds work with the doctors.
They're all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly. You two know, you do know the deal. You two
we're learning here.
Well, I hope this is useful to your listeners too. It's like, don't get yourself caught up. Learn how to say no. That's what I should have done from the beginning.
This is a boundary setting book. This is a book about boundaries.
This is a book about boundaries. This is a book about loving yourself enough to say, no, what I want to do is important too. I don't know how to do elective surgery. And I certainly don't know how to do a colonoscopy, which is not what I'm doing next. So I'm here doing a colonoscopy, and obviously the gentleman has to drink all this stuff, and he's not drinking it.
Right, he has to clear out. He has to clear his colon. Yeah.
So we end up doing the colonoscopy. Guess what? It wasn't clear enough because he didn't drink enough of the damn fucking fluid.
Right. You got to take like 12 hours.
So here I'm going to Mr. Bonaducci. Mr. Bonaducci, I can't give you a proper analysis because there's data error.
Yeah, you can't see if there's polyps there. It's
I couldn't see a single goddamn polyp, but I don't know if there is or not. That's the damn problem. Mr. Bonaducci says, no. Then you got to do another one. So here I got to go find another anesthesiologist. Okay?
So many.
It's 1 in the morning. I finally find one.
Mm-hmm.
We do it. Anesthesiologist brings the wrong sack of fluid that they use. They use a sack of fluid. Right. Okay,
no, anesthesiologists work with sacks of fluid.
They got like a little bit of
saline. I hear
saline.
That term many times. I'm a big fan of medical shows.
They got a saline drip, and then they inject, you know, the stuff into the saline drip.
From
so
the fluid
slowly...
sack, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guess what happens?
What?
Anaphylactic shock, huh? Anaphylactic shock. I mean,
from the fluid? So now this isn't even your fault.
Isn't even my fault.
Little Tony. It's not even your fault.
It's not you, little Tony.
It's not you at all.
This wasn't me.
This
wasn't me.
This one's not on you.
This wasn't me. So, of course, what do? Start jumping on the chest. Not working. 3.5 hours goes by. He's been yelling stomp or stop. Nothing's happening. And at that moment, that exact moment, the anesthesiologist took off his anesthesiologist clothing.
What?
And it was a cop. And he said,
what?
Put your hands up. This is This is a stick up. This is a stick up.
A stick up is what he said. He meant like a raid or, you know.
Well, first
he wasn't a sting. It was a stick up.
He was robbing us. Yes.
He was robbing you guys.
The cop mugged you.
Oh, my God. A dirty cop. You hear about this all the time.
And I was thinking, you know what? You'd be better off just not letting us know you were caught before you robbed us. I'm a dummy. I'm thinking that.
No, you're right. You're right.
And so he robs us. Takes everything. He took every single vial of Botox that I had, which cost me $300 on Alibaba.
Right.
So much.
But, you know, he got his justice because I found out everybody he administered it to got anaphylactic shock.
right. There's
so a bit of karma for
it's obvious
him.
It's coming from
so wait, he was
Alibaba.
Stealing the stuff just to use it in procedures?
In his family?
I don't know who he gave it to.
Yeah,
but I do know
he does. Well, he deserves it. He's robbing like that.
Yeah.
Little Tony, can I say something?
Sure.
Your stories are fascinating. Okay.
Really?
This is going to be one of the best crime novels.
This is
going to
be amazing. This is
crime
like
memoirs.
Such a deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, into the
people do not know that there's this level of concern about cosmetic appearances within the crime families of New York City.
A huge angle. Now, normally Will and I will kind of take the information, we'll go away, we'll have a discussion. I don't have time to do it tomorrow, Will. So
me either. I don't have time either.
You don't?
I don't. I'm busy tomorrow.
You don't? What are you doing?
I'm playing hopscotch. I'm in a little hopscotch league in my neighborhood. And it's just like,
and how have you placed lately?
Badly, but it's like one of these things where I'm kind of a new member, and if I miss the first couple tournaments, they'll stop, I think, inviting me to future ones.
So I'm in
that crucial time in a group when I'm like,
I don't think we need to step away. And
I don't think we need to step away either. I think we've got enough.
I think, little Tony, if you want to do this, Will can do this for you. We can do this for you.
We can
make this happen. We can write this book.
I would love for you guys to help me write this book, not because I'm proud of what I did, not because I want to show off, but only because
I hear the remorse.
I only want people to know what happens when you don't say no to something you don't want to do.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is a self-help book, really.
It's about setting up boundaries with the Bonaduce's.
Don't be like me. I've killed over 980 people in the last three years.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot.
And every single one of them.
And just in the last 3 years, and how old are you?
I am 19 now.
Wow.
Okay.
So
wow.
Very young. I noticed, because you're in a full body shot in this Zoom, that your quads are very defined, I think, from all the stomping.
Yeah.
Your upper legs are, you got the upper legs of a ballerina.
Thank you so much. And I've been told my butt's not bad either. But
yeah, let me see.
Let me see.
That's like very muscular. Ooh, yes, I can see that you're exercised.
Like
yes.
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore because I, you know, went on the internet, you know, got a little bit education, and now I'm a little bit more familiar with how to do, administer CPR.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you do it? How is this supposed to be done?
You take a shovel and just.
We heard enough. That's good. Okay. It's okay. We don't need to hear about more of it.
Anyway,
we're not going to get into the medical technicalities.
Sure,
of this
sure.
Book. Listen, we're ready to do this book. If you're ready to do it, I'm going to send the paperwork over. Let's get this book written.
Oh, I'd love to.
I think the American public needs to hear
this. I'd love to. I'm so excited. And I thank you both for doing this.
No, it's our pleasure.
You know, if you look at Will's face, he's a little bit jowly. You know, his jowls are kind of
my jowls are a little out of control.
Kind of
if you don't mind. As part of your payment, you could just do a little tuck.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is you got to give me an extra day. I got to find an anesthesiologist.
Yeah. No, anytime. There's no rush.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
right. I mean, his face is always going to look like that.
I've had it this way this long. So there's no hurry.
Okay. There's no rush.
Yeah. You want to do maybe, what day is it today?
Today's Friday.
Want to do Tuesday?
Pencil it in.
Tuesday's great.
Write it down.
I have not been writing any of this down.
You haven't been writing any of this down?
I haven't written any of this down. Little Tony, if it's all right with you,
We'll
schedule another meeting to go over this again.
Wait,
so that
to say the whole story again?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I need you to say the whole thing again. Not right now, because I don't have time, because my hopscotch league is doing a practice round.
Look, I can try and, you know, I can try and recite some of the things from memory.
No, it's not going to work. I only work well from written notes. I mean, I've recorded this whole conversation, but that's not good enough. I need to hear it live, and I'll write it down. Not right now, another time.
Okay. Also, you're in there's an actual league for hopscotch. That's really crazy.
There's like this in my neighborhood. It's just hopscotch has really taken over, and I think it was just started for fun, but now some guys have put together a league.
It's like axe throwing, you know, these stupid hipster things that come
around. Like a kickball league. You know, like hipsters will play like kid sports, but like for fun. So there's a bunch of hops. Although, most of the guys in this league are senior citizens.
Like Sagittarius throwing, you throw that little emblem that's shaped as a Sagittarius, and whoever catches it is a Sagittarius.
Once you catch it, you have to change your astrological sign.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's like one of those leagues.
Right. Okay. Got it.
So we're doing a rehearsal today for our tournament tomorrow. They call it
rehearsal.
Yeah, because it's like a big ritual before you start. You have to perform. It's a whole thing. I don't mean to get you guys into it. I'm just really, these guys are the coolest guys, and I'm trying to work my way into that friend group.
You're going
to
get kicked out.
Maybe, but when you're first becoming part of a friend group, it's so important to show up when you're invited because you want to encourage more invites.
And they were the coolest, for sure?
These are extremely cool people.
Okay.
They're a mixture of senior citizens and tweens, and they're into hopscotch, and they're dressed fashionably. They have good taste in music. They knew who Billie Eilish was before anybody.
You know, little Tony, I want to say it's not your fault that you have killed over 300 people, okay?
900. So,
oh,
900?
Yeah. 968 or something, or 980, something like that.
I didn't write it down. Something like that.
You know.
Wow, I thought you said 300.
No, I wish 300. You kidding me? I wish I killed 300. I wish.
Right, so in 3 years, that's like a person a day almost.
Yeah.
You started the story and you're 16 and a half. You're 19 now, 365 days a year. You've killed almost a person a day.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like that, though, I bet, huh?
It doesn't. No. You know, it's funny how life just sort of like, at some point it catches up with you. You suddenly like, oh, my God, you look back and in retrospect.
It's like what they say in the Bible, life finds a way.
Life finds. Yes. Is that in John 2?
I think so.
Nice.
It's in John part 2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The second, the sequel to John, which is in the Bible also, is a great book. John part 2.
John part 2. Oh!
All right. Well, I think we have enough. Little Tony, thank you so much for coming to us.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me be able to tell my story.
I'll see you on Tuesday for my jowl procedure, and then we'll meet again for you to tell me everything you just told me, and then we'll get started on this book.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Thank you so much,
Karen. Thank you, Little Tony.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, everybody. That was I Will Write Your Book. My name's Will Hines. As always, I played a character named Will Hines. For plugs this week, normally I plug my Twitter. I want to plug... I did an album with a friend of mine. This is a real thing. My friend Joel Spence and I did an album. It's called Turn It Up. Our band is called Wayne and Rodney. It's like a real album that we had a lot of fun doing. And hey, if you're interested in hearing a couple of real metal, mellow, middle-aged dudes rock out, listen to our album. It's called Turn It Up, available on Apple Music and Spotify and Tidal and YouTube and everywhere. So that's my plug. Pam, you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Murphy, please, on Twitter and Instagram, since I can't plug Quibi anymore. You know what? I'm going to plug this podcast you're listening to right now. If you like this podcast, please rate it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're trying to do that more.
Done.
Yeah. Rate and review it on the Apple Podcast would be really a huge help. Peter, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Peter Banifaz. Please follow me on Instagram. I'm at pbani, P-B-A-N-I.
Yes. They're extremely funny.
You won't regret it.
Videos. Peter does amazing characters and just really funny sketches. And the pandemic is bad. I'm going to say it. But a silver lining is some of this great content that's getting made. And Peter is the source of some of this great content. So,
thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And I would recommend certainly people check out your album because both you and Joel are fantastic and your music is fantastic and you guys have such a joy for music, and
this is a new thing on plugs where we're all gonna plug stuff and then we each recommend each other's plugs.
Love it.
This is like a new phase of podcasting where we do that.
The love phase.
Mark Maron's gonna be doing it. He'll plug something and then his guests will stay on and be like, hey, listen to this guy's music. And the trend starts here of everybody approving each other's plugs.
Right. I love it. I approve everybody's plugs.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next episode. Bye.
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 Imagine a podcast. Now, imagine a musical. Now, imagine the two of them made 1 million babies. Well, you don't have to imagine it because it's real and it has a name. 1 million musicals. Each month, we bring you a brand new original podcast musical featuring talent from across Broadway, films, and TV. You'll hear tales of spooky ghosts, Wild West shootouts, adventures on the high seas, and much, much more. 1 million musicals. Only a few hundred thousand to go.
A Campfire Media Podcast.
Campfire.